Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you for tuning into the broadcast today. What you're about ready to see, I'm known for all over the world. We're going to bring you some excerpts of A Merry Heart Doeth Good Like a Medicine. Are you ready to laugh? Today's show is going to lift your spirit and heal your soul. You know, I mean, laughter is a wonderful thing. It's such a blessing of the Lord. These are all funny stories, and some of you have heard it, but I've had people say, I've heard this 100 times, but I bust out laughing every time I hear it. So call a friend, tell them to turn that television on. You're going to see me all different color, hair, gray, kind of white. You're going to enjoy this. So let's go into part one of A Merry Heart Doeth Good Like a Medicine. And guess what? You're about ready to get healed. You're going to laugh out that sickness and receive the power of God. Watch this now.
I'll never forget that. As long as I live, I was about 5.5 years old. And we lived down a place called Sheffield Lane. The man that owned it owned Sheffield's Cafe up at the front. We always lived back in the back, right by the Mississippi River, by the levee. And he had a big complex. I won't call it a big complex, but, you know, some little rent houses and things. And me and my brother would play. We had a friend that we really enjoyed playing with. And they had another kid that lived in the neighborhood and only lived actually about, oh, maybe 2 lots over from us. And this kid was an abused child because his father was an alcoholic and his mom was an alcoholic. This boy, he at 6 years old, would smoke cigars. And that would freak me out. I'd go, wow, man, smoking, want to hit? No, no, no. You know, he just smoked cigars. And parents didn't care. His dad, I seen the father many times fall on the porch, drunk. Mama, too. Police come down there, pick up the kids, keep them for about 3 weeks, and I guess give them back to them, they'd be back. But this little boy's name was Fred. And Fred took a butter knife and stabbed one of my friends in the back, put it his back this deep. I mean, the ambulance had to come pick up my friend, which made me mad. Mad, man. So I told my brother, I said, we're going to whip Fred. My older brother said, okay, well, where are we going to whip him at? I said, look, I want you to get, we didn't have an inside toilet. We had an outside, had a three-holer. Yeah, that's good. I mean, know what I'm talking about. Yeah, a three-holer, the daddy holer, the mama holer, and the baby holer. You know, those 3 holers. And you used to be a hot shot, you had a 3-holer. It's an outhouse, way out from the house is where it was. So I said, I'm going to lure Fred in that outhouse. I said, when I open that door and he come in, you just hit him. I said, now throw him down the hole. I was a bad kid. I was about 5.5 years old. I said, I don't have enough of Fred. Fred done stabbed our friend. We're going to bust him today. So, boy, sure enough, man, old Fred come out there smoking his cigar. I'll never forget it. I said, hey, Fred, come here. What do you want? What do you want? I said, come here. I'll tell you something. I'll show you something in the outhouse. Just come see. Ain't nothing in there I want to see. Just come on there. Boy, there's my brother behind the door. And I was walking. I said, you see him? Here he comes. Here he comes. Open up that door. Boy, when he walked through that door, boom, Wayne hit him. Bless God. When Wayne hit him, I hit him too. I said, you stab my friend. We just beating him up. Boy, now I'm trying to throw him. I put him in. I put his head in that hole. I'm trying to get him down there. You get you down there, bless God. He's going, ah! I guess you would too. You know what I'm saying? I mean, I'm trying to throw him down that hole. But I said, you stabbed my friend. I'm 5.5 years old. This boy is screaming from the top of his lungs. We're trying to stuff him down that hole, man. But the problem was I had a head in one hole and his leg in the other, and there's something in between. You can't get him in it. I wanted to cut him in half, drop both halves in there. Bless God. I was so mad at him because he destroyed my little friend, you know, hurt my friend. He was a hollering. I hurt his daddy. Hurt. Mom, man. Boom, out the door I ran. My brother ran. Fred come out. Oh, daddy cried. And man, that man said, oh, I'll kill you. When he said that, I froze. I'm 5.5 years old. I froze. And my brother Wayne said, run, Jesse, run. I'm going. Scared me. And he was drunk. And he had a Stilson wrench. Y'all from Fort Worth, you know much about monkey wrench, oil field wrench, pipe wrench. He said, I'll beat your brown, kill you, boy. Now I'm 5.5 going, yo. I didn't know what to do. I mean, I couldn't run. I was scared. Of course, I was wrong to be trying to throw his son down a hole, but, you know, I wasn't saved. So I'm sitting there, and Wayne's screaming, run, run! Well, Wayne was running, and all of a sudden, he gets from me to this monitor, said, I'll beat your brains out, and he's drunk. All of a sudden, I heard something go, kaka! I turned around, there was my mama standing in the doorway with a .22 rifle pointed at man's head. She said, you touch that boy and I'll kill you. Boldness came upon me. Boldness of such a degree. I looked at him and said, you want some of me? No. Boy, he looked like that. I said, shoot him, mama. I said, come on, man. I'll whip your son and whip you too. Mess with me? 5 and a half years old. Pop, Mama said, shut up, Jesse, shut up. She said, you touch my boy and I'll kill you. By that time, my daddy come driving up. He sees my mama with a .22 rifle. He sees the guy with the wrench like that, and I'm going, come on, Jack. I had boldness, because something was behind me. My daddy said, my mother's name was Velma. He called her Val. Val, don't kill that man. And that man looked at him, he said, you think she would? He said, I live with this woman. She will kill you. She'll kill you. You touch that boy, she will kill you. Boy, mama had that 17 shots in that. She'd have put him in his head, buddy. You touch my boy and I'll kill you. Boy, I had boldness, you know. He said, he called my mother, mother, too. Sometimes he called her mama. He said, mama, put the gun down. Daddy trying to get people saved, mama trying to kill him. She said, Paul, I hadn't crucified my flesh yet. You believe in raising from the dead? We'll see how much power you got. I'll bust him in a second. He touched Jesse. Man, the man dropped the wrench and backed away like this. I'll never forget this. Boy, and I was... And then it happened. Mama said, come here. Rapture, now! Now! Come on! Let's go! Because I knew it's judgment day. I could see the Terminator in her. Gonna rip me apart. That's a true story. Why did I get boldness? Because there was somebody behind me with a gun. Let me tell you, that devil may be coming up to you, brother, with a wrench right ready to bust your head open. And you may have done something, and he just don't like it. Maybe you did something wrong. Maybe you did something right. But he come to kill, steal, and destroy. But all of a sudden, if you look back, you hear this. Come out! You'll turn around, and that's that Holy Ghost say, you touch that kid, and I'll blow your head off. You don't touch that kid. That's my boy. Hallelujah. Boldness produces that tongue talk in church in the Bible. You get the point? You get the point? You know how I got filled with the Holy Ghost? By a cross-eyed preacher. Cross-eyed as a bat, son. The guy could look at you and you would not know he was looking at you. This boy was like this. And I'd go, this boy was cross-eyed. Remember him, Kathy? And he had a problem with his hand. He'd scratch all the time. I'll tell you what. And you know, it seemed like them old Pentecostal preachers had that. I'll tell you, God. You know, and I thought that guy need a healing for whatever he got. I don't know. And they all kind of walk like this, you know, they kind of. You know, they didn't walk like a normal, they just kind of. Like there was something in their pants that shouldn't have been there or something. I don't know. That's kind of crude, but bless God. I thought, my God, man, what's the problem with the old boy? Kathy said, go up there. Get the Holy Ghost. I didn't want to come back like this. I'll tell you what. I didn't want to do that. I said, I ain't going up there. She said, well, my sister's going to go. You go with her. I said, I don't want to go. I'm going to start scratching and walk weird. You need it. You've had an outpouring of supernatural power, but you need an outpouring of supernatural portion. So I went up there with her sister. I put her in front of me. I said, go ahead, Christine. And then this usher grabbed me and said, you got to get on the side of her. So I'm standing there. Behind which I was a little nervous. He comes walking, and it's amazing what this man would do. He said, I tell you, God, God, God. I said, he better hurry up because you're going to die in about 5 seconds on each scratch. So when you see somebody doing it, after a while, you're going, so put your hands up. But you see him scratch yourself before you're going. He stands in front of me. Would you like to receive? Well, I said, would you like to receive? I said, would you like to receive the Holy Ghost? And I'm still going. You looking at me? I couldn't tell. I could not tell. This guy's eyes was this way. I couldn't tell. So Christine, her sister, said, I think he's looking at you. I said, his eyes are on you. She said, only one of them is. The other one's on you.
That's called peripheral vision. This guy could do television good. He could see both monitors at the same time. I'm not adding anything. This is a truth. I mean, it's worse than that. He said, I'm going to lay hands on you. And he put his hand over here. Then I realized he saw two heads. So I went. I knew he was missing me, Mike. He was missing me. Well, what's so funny, Christine, her sister, did both of us hit heads. She said, I thought he was looking at me. I said, I thought he was looking at me. But an outpouring of supernatural portion came upon me. I was filled with the Holy Ghost like this. Christine was filled like this. Both of us walked out the church like this. So you have it. We got it. We got it.
Let's go. We got it.
We had it all right. It was an outpouring of supernatural power produced by an outpouring of supernatural portion. Don't laugh. It could happen to you.
Wonder why everybody's always afraid of dead people. Dead people can't hurt you. You can go walk through a graveyard tonight, and I promise you, not one will come out the tomb and go, boogoo, boogoo. Ain't gonna be a live person on top of that tomb trying to scare you. I'll never forget one time, we were poor people, me and my God, man. We lived on the West Bank of New Orleans, and my mama said, Jesse, go over to Ann Euler. I had an Ann Euler at Uncle Dennis. Go to Ann Euler to get some sugar. I said, oh, Lord, mama, I don't wanna go to Ann Euler. She said, why, boy? I said, I gotta pass by the graveyard, mama. Ain't anybody gonna hurt you in there? I'm just a little boy. I was about 6 years old. And I was, you know, I was kind of chubby. I've always been chubby. I didn't like that stuff. Get skinny, get chubby. Glory to God. And my brother knew I had to go get that sugar. My older brother ran out the back house, ran all the way over to the graveyard, got on top of one of the tombs. She said, you go over there and get my sugar. I ain't going, I'll beat you, boy. Beat me, mom. I brought her the bell. Beat me, I don't care. I'd rather be beat than killed by a dead person. Because I just knew Dracula would come out. How many of y'all remember Dracula? And that guy that used to walk around with it, master. Oh, master. Oh, man. Used to freak me out. So sure enough, man, and my brother could always outrun me. My older brother, I mean, I'd try to beat him, but I never could. Glory to God. So I'm going over there, man, and I'm walking, and I get by the graveyard was a good block. And I'm going, oh, Jesus, 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 Jesus. And my brother was on top of that crazy tomb, and he jumped off and went, rah! And buddy, I'm talking lightning, I became the Flash. Do you understand? I took off, and my brother tried to catch me, and Fat Boy was just going to town. I was going to town. Glory to God. I ran. I got to my Aunt Eula's house. She said, what's the problem? I went, ooh, ooh. I like to kill myself. Finally, I went, sugar. She said, that's your problem, boy. You eat too much sugar. I said, Ma wants the sugar. I said, there's a dead man coming up the road. And Eula, she used to get scared too. She went, oh God, oh God. She was about 4'9", man. And my Uncle Dennis was a big man. She said, Dennis, a dead man coming up the road, and Jesse saw it. He said, well, close the door. This is a true story. Here's my aunt and uncle, they grown people all in the house like this. And it was my brother. Dum, dum, dum. I said, God, he looks like Wayne. I knew Wayne wasn't my brother. That's a true story. A dead person can't hurt you. But I had a friend of mine that used to fly dead bodies across the nation about to die. They will freak you out in an airplane. You get them up to about 25, 35,000 feet, they're laying in there. All of a sudden they go, true story. My friend said, I'm out of here. I don't care. He's already dead. Crashed the plane. Let's get out of here. He quit the job. I think I would quit the job too. Because what happened is that it decompresses, it pressurized cabin, gets in there. Some of y'all, I tell you what, if you standing by a graveyard when the rapture comes, you're gonna die. Bam! And then God gonna raise you up. No, no, no. You could be going right alongside a dead one. Hello. Ah, Jesus, help me, Lord. Is your Jesus dead?
So the other day, I did it. I shouldn't have did it. I went against my own flesh, Lord, my own thinking. We was at the Cheesecake Factory up in New York. Hey, man, I like that Cheesecake Factory place. You know, I mean, if you ever eat there, you know what I'm talking about. It's a good place to eat. Well, she said, y'all always eat the same thing all the time. Y'all always eat the same thing all the time. She didn't know there was a man behind her looking at me, and I looked at him. He went, hey, he said, wife says the same thing. So I said, okay, I'm going to try something different. Why don't you just try something different? So I did. It was trash. She said, well, I don't see why you ordered that. Oh, I don't want him to talk to you, woman. I'm still mad about it. Oh, God. I should have got what I knew to get.
She went right there with you.
Yeah. Then she said, well, you shouldn't have got that. Well, excuse me. It's something new. See, Kathy gets mad at me if she eats too much pasta because it makes her fat. I'm not putting the spaghetti in her mouth. I'm buying the spaghetti. I tell you what, every time I come over here, you just make me eat pasta. Have y'all ever seen me trying to stuff pasta down my wife's throat? No. She eats it with a good heart. Then she go home and go, I tell you what, you're the Antichrist, Jesse. I ain't the Antichrist. Made me eat that pasta. You got to be kidding me. If I'd have grabbed that spoon to take that pasta out your mouth, I'd have one arm. I'd be preaching like this morning. She likes it. So eat it. I told her, I don't care. Eat it. I don't care if you gain weight on it. I don't care. I didn't marry your body. Do you understand? Just be happy, girl. You get fat, fine. You get skinny, fine. I don't know. You get ugly, we'll pray. No. No, just glory to God. I don't care. I'm serious as I can be about that. I don't care. Now, I know I make some of you men mad, but I really don't care. Look, there's enough pressures in life. I ain't putting no pressures on Kathy if she gains weight or lose weight. That's her body. Do what she want with it. Just every once in a while, hey, baby, what's up? That's all. I mean, I just do what you want to do. This is my body. I'm going to do what I want with my body. You understand? She gets mad at me sometimes. I'm going to do it. I'm just going to do it. I don't care. Well, this is my body. One man said, well, bless God, I'm just so sick and tired of losing weight. I said, Quit trying to lose weight. You're going to lose all the weight after you're dead, so don't worry about it. You're going to get back in them 28 jeans when you're dead, so don't worry about it. Lose it all then. Who cares? That make no difference. I mean, Lord Jesus. It's tough to see people say, I bind this food. I bind this food. Now, if you want to lose weight, don't lose something you're bound. You know how food is. It's got a voice. Food will talk to you. Food to talk to you, son. Piece of chicken will pull me out of bed at 3 o'clock in the morning. It'll do it. I hear it. And then sometimes I just hear that, love that chicken from Papa. I'm just sleeping and I just wake up, whoa. And the Lord said, don't eat that, Jesse. Don't eat that. It's 3 o'clock in the morning. Well, sometime I do it, and then the Lord lets me know I disobeyed. Start burping, get that heart back. Which brings me to my next point. The title of the message, what you bind, you should never lose. Don't wrestle with flesh and blood. Come against the spirit that motivates people to do wrong things.
Ladies and gentlemen, laughter is good for you. It's important to God. It really is. I love sharing those stories with you. Each one is funny. And as you see, they all have a point behind it because God's got a great sense of humor. How do I know that? He created us. Think about that for a minute. Listen, life is hard and we need to laugh. But I'm going to tell you something, man. When you have the joy of the Lord, that is the fruit of the spirit. And happiness, that's an emotional feeling. Boy, you become a dangerous individual to the devil. I mean that sincerely. So it's great to laugh. It's wonderful. It's a great gift. God is so good. And I'm telling you, he wants to bless you today. I believe God is ministering great healing to you today. Maybe you're struggling with a health issue. Maybe it's a relationship. Or maybe you're believing for your child to come back to the Lord. Whatever it is, the joy of the Lord is your strength. Nothing too hard for him, so let him have it. I want to pray for you right now. Father, in Jesus' name, I come boldly to the throne of grace for this petition and supplication with thanksgiving. Lord, that people need help and they need it today. We show them a lot of funny things, and that's healing their spirit, healing their soul, and healing their body. Hallelujah, Father. I can't thank you enough for it, that today you're going to minister greatly to people, and these troubles are going to cease and desist. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Don't you love the laugh? I know I like to laugh. You know, I mean, I enjoy it. People say he's funny all the time. No, I'm not. The only time that funniness comes on me is when I start preaching. I'm telling you, I was never funny when I was growing up. I mean, I told a joke once in a while, like anybody else. But I mean, But when I started preaching, because I was such a chief of sinners and such an evil person, but when God saved me, gave me the joy of the Lord, he put some humor in there also. I began to remember all these stories and different things. And so I put them in my sermons, and people just love them because it makes you remember the point that's behind it. Are you hearing what I'm saying? That's what I'm talking about. Kathy's coming right now with some glorious moments. That's your testimony that you've seen. And it's such a blessing to hear that. So, Kathy, take it away. Bless God, bless the people, and bless me. Watch.
Welcome to Glorious Moments. You know, I love telling the world about the glorious things that God has done. I want to read two testimonies from people that have been encouraged by our wonderful God. This first one is from Venezuela, which has been translated into English for us. It says, "Good evening. I'm watching you from Maracaibo." I think I'm pronouncing that right, Venezuela. "Your gospel messages have filled my life with wisdom, faith, and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ and in His Word. Your teachings have strengthened me and filled my life with faith, perseverance, and wisdom in Jesus Christ. Thank you." I love that. And this next testimony is from a viewer that's come back to the Father. It says, "I first heard you on TBN back in the 80s when I was a teenager and the church was on fire with revival. To see you all these decades later still on fire for the Lord stirs my spirit. Just like Kathy, how she said she kept asking, seeking, and knocking for Jesse's salvation, so I've been praying for all these years to see the promises of God in my life. Almost 10 years ago, our life changed with the passing of many loved ones, one right after another, and it definitely took a toll on my faith. Since then, it's been an uphill climb, but slowly I've found myself falling back into the arms of the Father. Thank you for the humor and love that you both share because it truly helps believers like me continue fighting the good fight and running the race that the Lord has set before us." You know, Psalms 118 verse 15 in the New Living Translation says, "Songs of joy and victory are sung in the camp of the godly. The strong right arm of the Lord has done glorious things." And for 48 years now, we have been seeing God do glorious things through JDM. Thank you, partners, for helping us spread the gospel of Jesus. Together, we are reaching people and changing lives one soul at a time. God bless you.
The Christian life is defined in one word, advance. It's a never retreat, advance.
Don't miss this special Friday event in Nashville, Tennessee on August 9th.
Be strong and let your heart take courage. Believe the unbelievable and receive the impossible.
God, he's no respecter person. If he'll bless people 4,000 years ago, he'll bless them today.
Special Friday event, August 9th in Nashville, Tennessee at Faith is the Victory Church.
You see, heaven is wonderful. It's a big place. Then I heard this, "He's coming, he's coming, he's coming." The Lord walked out and his children ran up to him and began to sing praises to him. He said, "Go tell my people I'm coming. I brought you here to tell you. Go tell them I'm coming."
Heaven, close encounters of the God kind. The testimony that has changed lives all around the world. Order yours today at jdm.org.
Ladies and gentlemen, my book, Heaven, Close Encounters of the God Kind, is our product offer this month. This is my most sold book. This is out of hundreds of thousands have been all over the world. And I tell you, it will bless you. It's a great message of hope. This book is about my supernatural trip to heaven. And I believe it's going to change your life. If you don't have a copy yet, I encourage you to get one for yourself and for someone you love. How do I get it? You go to our website, jdm.org, for the ordering information. I'm telling you, this book will bless you beyond your wildest dreams. I've had people come up to me and read this and say, you know, I know this is true. I said, no, why? They said, it shakes me to my spirit. It does, because it's a living reality. I never thought in my entire life that the Lord would bring me there, but he did. So I hope you can get it. Go to jdm.org for all the ordering information and you'll be blessed. Partners, thank you for your faithful financial support to this ministry. What you give 100%, you've heard me say thousands of times, goes into world evangelism. We've been debt-free since 1982, and we're excited about that. So if you send $20, the whole $20 goes into world evangelism. If you send $20,000, and we have people that do that, the whole $20,000 goes into the ministry, 100%. $1 million, we've had people do that many times. 100% of it goes in the world evangelism. We don't take any of that. That's God's glorious seed that you put into this ministry, and the hundredfold return is on my life, and it'll come upon you. I mean that sincerely. I'm telling you, man, God's word is so true. All you have to do is just accept it. Partners, thank you for helping me reach people, change lives, one soul at a time. I don't think of it as finance, and I wish everything was free out there, but it's not. This television costs a lot of money, but that's okay. I have no problem with that because, you know, people have to make a living. That's fine. But I want to tell you something. This ministry is doing some wonderful things, not because of me, but because of you who faithfully finance this ministry. And we've never had a financial deficit in 48 years. Isn't that a miracle of God? Thank you for watching today. Don't miss next week. Part two of A Merry Heart Doeth Good Like a Medicine. You will enjoy it. Bye-bye.
The Lord spoke to me. He said, it's time to get some things done. Give God a job. You keep him busy, he's going to keep you busy. But you've got to constantly be saying, is there anything too hard for the Lord? What are you willing to believe? What are you willing to receive? And what are you willing to complete? Because it's time for us to complete destiny and reach destination.
We have a great partner offer this month. It's titled, Is There Anything Too Hard for the Lord? This is one of our boardroom chats that will build your faith in God's goodness and power. Christians often limit God with doubt and unbelief. Why would you do that? It's time to exercise your faith completely and believe God for the impossible. Nothing's too hard for him. Get your copy at jdm.org.
Captain said, you don't know how to skate. I said, no, but I'll learn. Then you got this guy with a whistle. Boop, 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 boop. Come on, move. Boop, boop. Get your hand off the rail. So I take it off, wham, and hit the ground. And he didn't care if you hit the ground. Storm was blowing.